Good morning. It's good to be here this morning, and I bring you greetings in the name of our Savior that we also serve at Keysville. I think Keith told me it was about almost 2 hours from here. We welcome you to worship with you. We welcome you to worship with us as you have opportunity. I was thinking about coming up here this morning, and I thought back, and I think it's been about 5.5 years since we have been here as a family. And I see things have changed, and that's a good thing. You know, we expect things to change. We expect people to grow up. I mean, I see some of these boys and stuff, and then my own boys, they just 5 years does something. And then for the rest of us, we don't want to talk about 5 years. You know, what's another 5 years going to do? But the good news is that God is the same today as he always was. And we can make deliberate choices in our lives on whether we're going to serve him or whether we're going to take life back to ourselves. I was challenged this morning with a thought we had in devotions and also in the Sunday school. And I think it ties into my message that I plan to bring here this morning. So this morning I titled my thoughts, My Life, My Choice. And that's what we have. You have your life you're going to live. And you can make choices in that life as long as there's life. You know, We start out somewhere in life, and we make choices about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, where we're going to go, what we're going to do, and sometimes we make choices we don't even know we're making choices. But I brought a Plinko board with me this morning, and I like to use this board to represent life. Now I don't know if you're familiar with these or not, but on this board. We have a beginning, and we have an ending. And we have a left, and we have a right. And you're placed on this board at the beginning of life when you start. And you can make decisions in life until you get to the bottom, if it goes that far. But sometimes it falls off. Anyway. But your life will go. And you can make choices for the left or for the right. And depending on the choices you make, you will not be faced with every choice on the board. And I don't know whether you got placed towards the left or towards the right. But you are always given an opportunity to choose the right way. Once we make a choice, you will not be able to get it back and remake that choice. You're going to be passed on to the next opportunity. And you will continue to make choices until you get to the bottom of the board, at what place you will be set. And that is where you are. So I want to use that as a springboard as you think about different options, as you think about life. Life choices we need to make. I would like to start in Joshua chapter 24. You can open your Bibles with me there. Joshua chapter 24, but you may begin reading in verse 14. This is at the end of Joshua's life. People he was going to pass on, and he was presenting the people with an option. He said, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we would forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage, which did these great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. And therefore will we serve the Lord, for he is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, he will turn away and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. It is important in life, no matter where we are, that we choose to serve God. We can be born into godly homes, we can be born into ungodly homes. But the first step each person, each generation, each individual must make is, I want to serve God. That puts them on a trajectory when they are going to, as they face life, that they can build on. We as parents cannot choose for our children, and our children cannot choose for the parents. This is an individual, personal choice, because you will be presented with that choice. There's always two options in a choice. You can always go towards God or away from God. And sometimes we feel like choices don't matter, but this is one important choice that will totally affect the trajectory you begin. Because if you start at the top and you start going one way, there's opportunities to change. You can start turning away from God. And there's always opportunities to turn back to God as long as there's life. But if you turn away from God, you may get to a place in life where there's options that when you have to choose between two things, it's two bad options. Nothing seems right. And we don't know how far, we don't know how many options we have before we get to a bad spot like that. But I can tell you with assurance that if you choose towards God, you will be given maybe two good options that you don't know what to do with. And you will be placed on a trajectory that will help you get. Parents can present the truth. We can present the truth. Parents and teachers can present truth all they want. But they cannot choose for the people listening. Because at the end of the day, it's a personal thing. And we are responsible. I am not responsible for the choices that people around me make. But I am responsible for the choices that Glendon makes. Because I will pay for that choice. Nobody else. Choosing to accept Jesus is a saving choice, but it's only the first step. And that will only save you if you choose to continue to follow him. There's so many people today that look back and say, yes, when I got saved. And they have a date and a stamp. That's when I got saved, and praise the Lord. We have to make that choice. You have to get saved. That's right. But then what do you do? We reject the doctrine that once saved, always saved. Because there's people that once knew the Savior and then turned away and headed back into a life of debauchery. So in order to continue to make choices, we want to look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, I'm going to start reading in verse 57. And it came to pass, as they went the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, and go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. We have here Jesus presented the option to people. One man said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And Jesus said, Do you know what you're talking about? And it don't say what he did, but I think people realized how big of a deal this was. So when we choose to follow Jesus, we are choosing between the world and we're choosing between God. And we must choose to follow Jesus and forsake the stuff around us. And choosing to follow Jesus will have an immediate effect on what we do with everything else. It requires us. Making the choice that we're going to follow Jesus brings another choice immediately into our life. And that is, and what am I going to do with everything else? You know, some people make the first choice, I want to follow Jesus, and that's right. But the next choice is, but I want my stuff. And then now what do I do? And what we do with that is going to place us on a trajectory. If we choose to follow, but yet choose our stuff, we may get by with it for a while. We may. I mean, life isn't over till it's over. And some choices we make may have greater consequences than others. But when you begin to make them choices and they start stacking up, you see, you start having a path. And it starts having a pattern. And my path is different than yours, and yours is different than mine. But each time you come to a divide, you are going to decide whether I'm going to go towards God and what He has me to do, or whether I'm going to let myself stand up and I'm going to go towards myself and do what I want to do. So another thing we need to make a choice every day. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. So when we choose to follow God, we confess our sins to God, we open ourselves up and we say, God, we want to change. And I'm going to follow You. And God forgives us. Praise the Lord. But Matthew chapter 6, begin reading in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as it is done in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we have a choice every day of forgiveness. Second thing we need to do, it's a major choice, is choosing to forgive others. And this also is just like we do whenever we choose to follow God. You know, there comes a time in our life where we realize we may have been taken advantage of. We realize that, you know, this is too much and I'm going to forgive. And maybe even go and tell the person, I forgive you. But that's just one step. Our willingness to forgive those who wrong us will directly affect whether God forgives our sins. Our willingness to our relationship with our brother, our relationship with those around us. It says here that if we forgive men not their trespasses, our Father will not forgive our trespasses. So when we get up every morning, we need to remember that we will forgive our brother. We all recognize our need of forgiveness from God and others. Because we know what happens whenever we do wrong, whenever I make a mistake, whenever I hurt someone else's feelings, whenever I say something I shouldn't have said, maybe I snapped at my wife, maybe I got angry at my children. Maybe that won't happen in Cumberland. That, where I live, it happens. Maybe we expected too much from somebody else. Maybe miscommunication had happened and it put someone else in a bad place. Maybe I was arrogant with my opinion and I didn't realize 5 years later that, you know, I was wrong. Maybe we spoke on an unfamiliar subject. And we expect people to recognize growth in my life. We expect people to forgive me. I expect God, when I go back to Him, I expect God to forgive me. And I expect people I offended to forgive me and recognize growth. But you know, this is a full circle. Because what I expect from others and what I want for myself is what I need to turn around and give to other people. We know that God forgave our failures because in Romans 5, verse 8, it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God provided a way of salvation. God provided forgiveness for the sins I did. Now, in 2024, 2,000 years ago when He died on the cross, He said, and I will offer forgiveness to these people. So that behooves us to forgive people around us. We must be willing to reach out and continue to forgive. It's a numberless task. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. But he would not, but went and cast him into prison that he should pay, till he should pay the debt. And when the fellow servants saw that was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wrath and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. It's a choice we make. Because something is going to happen that I am not going to like. And it's not just going to happen one time. It's going to happen again and again and again. And what am I going to do about it? When people hurt us, do us wrong, whether it's intended or unintended, it is my choice to forgive. It's a choice we make. I cannot force you to forgive. I can tell my child to tell someone they're sorry. And I can tell my child to tell someone that you tell them you forgive them. But what do we do as adults? Do we have a long list of bitterness? A long list of grudges that we hold, that we know this person did this against me, and this person did this, and this person did something else, and it really hurts, and I don't know why they did that, and this person stole $5,000 from me, and this person never paid this amount. Can we list all that out? Is that truly forgiveness? You know, forgiveness is like a sore. We have a sore, and I don't know, sometimes children, we pick our scabs, and you have the open wound, you pick the scab, and it keeps having an open wound. But you know, if you leave that scab go, eventually it'll heal, and you might have a scar, and you can look at your hands, and there's scars on your hands, but I don't know what all those cuts were from. Some of them were a little more damaging. Some of them I remember. Remember getting my hand in the sander. That hurt. But all the details around it, you kind of leave it go. And that's the way forgiveness works. Some people say we forgive and we forget. No, we don't necessarily forget. But we forgive. And then we choose to leave the emotion not be so raw. We let it go. Just let it go to God. Because Luke says it's impossible. It is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. For is it better that a millstone were hung about his neck and he is cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones? Take heed to yourself. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day and 7 times turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. We choose to forgive. And you know, it's that first step of choosing to forgive that gives us strength the next time to choose to forgive again. And then we choose to forgive again. And it continues on in our life. And it can present a trajectory in our life. And as all trajectories do, it becomes a path. And choosing to forgive will affect our destiny. Whether we are on the side of God or whether we're on the side of the devil. And we don't know, I don't know where that break is. I don't think we necessarily know that there, but there is a path that you're taking. Either you're going towards God or you're going away from God. And if you're holding grudges, you're going away from God. But if you're forgiving, you're going towards God. Praise the Lord. Choosing not to forgive will create a path of bitterness and destruction. And eventually it will affect us. Another area I'd like to look at that we make choices every day is what we do with authority in our lives. You know, all of us live under authority. And how do we handle authority? Whether it's state, whether it's church, whether it's home. What do we do with authority in our lives? Because someone is over us. And ultimately, we're under God. But God placed people in the world that's under authority. Turn to me to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, begin reading in verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or to governors, or as to them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so it is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, and not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Choosing to submit and follow them that are over us is a choice we make that will not only affect us, but also affect the generations after us. Because we live our lives and make choices in our lives, there's people watching us. Our children are watching us. And if dad and moms live with the attitude of myself as king, and I will listen to nobody, and I will only listen to people that I fully agree with, you're teaching your children to do the same thing. God tells us to obey the laws of the land, and not only the ones that make sense. And currently, where I go to church, we're trying to get a school started. And we really like to have a school in our church basement, because we could do that. But there's a lot of regulation we're trying to work through. And this is real. So we think about, listen, submit to authority. You know, there's parts of us that just wants to just, like, why? But we are called to submit and to listen. And we need to respect those over us. And I believe that our testimony to them will be helped if we just listen. Our submission will help to build respect to the church of God and to keep us from being scorned as quickly. So many times there can be a negative connotation to plain people because they just want to do their own thing. We like our freedom, and we do. But I think sometimes we need to recognize how bad of a testimony that's going to leave those around us. Because someday we will need everything we had to build good, everything we have built good relationships with is going to be needed to our advantage. Because I believe the world is getting worse and worse, our neighbors and those in leadership in the government, the only thing they should say against us is that they will not follow what we tell them that is anti-Bible. You know? That's where it needs to be, instead of saying, well, they never did want to listen to us. Of course, they're not going to listen either. So how do we look at that? I sometimes wonder if we realize how quickly our government could turn against us. And the only thing we have left will be our good report. You know, and Hitler seemed to be a promising leader, but turned quickly on the Jewish people. And their only friends they had left were the people that they treated nice before the time of tribulation. We also need to obey those who are over us in the church. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it is for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us that we may, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willingly to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather this. So we honor those that have the rule over us in our churches. You know, we choose to follow God, and God puts people together in a church congregation. And then he calls leaders. And I hear that y'all, I think y'all is getting ready to have another minister ordination coming up here in December. And he calls leaders. And maybe, I don't know, are y'all campaigning? I mean, is this something that, you know, y'all's running for? Like, there's going to be an election here in November in the land, and there's a lot of speeches, stump speeches getting made. But, you know, church leadership isn't done that way. The Lord's going to call someone in this congregation, and you're going to be a minister. I don't know if you ever thought about that or not, but it's what's going to happen. I speak from experience. No one, the leadership in congregation, the leadership that God places in churches did not seek their job, but God put them there. And we are here to follow that. We need to work under that. There's always someone over something because there's no king on the pow. Because at the end of the day, it's not the leader's church. It's God's church. And they're simply stewards for what they have. So the attitudes we maintain in our head, the attitudes we maintain in our lives, the choices we make on whether I'm going to submit or whether I'm going to reject, what we eat for Sunday lunch is going to affect our families. If I can support or I reject, it's going to put you on a trajectory. But it's a choice we make. If we rebelled, 1 Samuel 15 says, for our rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Choosing to rebel and just run is not a solution. There needs to be divisions and separations. We read about in Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas had to separate because they could not come to agreement about one brother. They had to make a separation. That happens in times. But when that happens, I pray that we do not, that is not done out of a heart of rebellion, but out of a heart of seeking growth in our lives. Because no matter which church we identify with, no matter where we go, there's always going to be authority. And nothing will always be perfect. We are called into Christian liberty. But we do not want to use, we are in Galatians 5, verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty as an occasion for the flesh, but use it as an opportunity to serve one another. And if we are going to rebel against everything the church asks of us, or if we are going to rebel against church in our lives, we're essentially rebelling against the Bible. And if we use the excuse of Christian liberty, this says, use not your liberty as occasion for the flesh. And rebellion is only a thing for the flesh. Choosing submission is different than blindly following. We should search the scriptures constantly to see whether these things are so. However, submission does become a lifestyle. And choosing rebellion one time will put you on a different path. It'll make it easier to choose rebellion the next time. But if I choose to submit, and I continue to choose to submit, God can bless that and work in that. So we talked about choosing God, and we talked about choosing to forgive, and we talked about choosing to submit. But there's another choice that we need to make. We need to choose to be faithful until the end. You know, it's easy to make the first choice because we suddenly say, okay, I'm making a deliberate change in my life. But you know, it's the small changes in life, it's the small choices in life that actually makes a bigger difference the longer they go. But we must continue to choose that we are going to be faithful until the end. Because in Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 22, it says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in the synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought of what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you in the same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And brother shall deliver up brother to death, and father the child, and children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. It's not the person that says, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. It's not the person that said, well, I'm going to make mostly right choices. It's the person that endures to the end. And I don't know where you are. I don't know how many options I have left in life. I don't know how many choices I have. But I do know that I must continue to make right choices in my life until I get to the end. Because when I get to the end of life, I will be placed in one of two destinations. Either I will be on the side with Christ, or I will be rejected for all eternity. So the choices, so many times it's discouraging. I see older people in life just almost, I don't know if they just play out or what, but it's like they just give up. It's like you were almost, but they didn't make it because they chose at the last time to turn away. Living faithfully until our God-determined end will put us at the right place in eternity. Saying, yes, Lord, I believe, but not following him the whole way will result in the wrong side. Just forgiving the first time, but not continuing to forgive and later building a bitter wall is not going to end up right. We may be able to make choices. In closing, we may be able to make choices for 15 years, for 25 years, 40 years, 60, 90, I don't know. People die. Someday you will die. You will make your final choice. But we must treat each choice we make as if this would be the last. And as the choices that we make, is that where we're satisfied for our legacy to stop? You know, there's so many times it's tempting to say, well, I'm going to choose to, you know, we think about bitterness or unforgiveness. I'm going to choose to hold this grudge because this brother or sister really needs that. I mean, they just better know that I am upset at them. But you know, I not take that opportunity at that time to forgive and repent, I don't know if I will. We think we can justify the unforgiveness. We think we can justify the rebellion. You know, he is totally wrong and I will rebel. But you know, we don't know if we'll ever be able to make that right. There is only two destinies. We got eternal comfort and eternal torment. And I can only able to choose the path. I can only choose my path. And the destiny, the path has taken me to one of two options. And I will accept my destiny that I am given. And God knows our heart. We can think we're making a choice on the outside, but God knows the intent of our heart. We can say, yeah, I forgive. But you know, if there's a bitter root inside that is not forgiveness, God knows that. And he can separate what we say and what we actually do. Because he will take the choices we make and the heart of the choices we make and judge us by that. So let us live faithfully till he comes back and continue to press to the end of life as we make choices. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning thanking you that we can be together in this way without the fear of men. And Lord, I pray that as we make choices in life, that you would give us wisdom and grace to make wise choices, and make right ways, so we can have a right way for our children and for ourselves to the end of time. Lord, you are a good God, and you present us options in life that we can choose right. And I just pray that each of us would take the right path so we can meet you at the end of time in glory. So bless this congregation, Lord, as they serve you in this community. And just be with each one and their families as they continue to grow in you. And just help us to each be ready to meet you at the end of life. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen.